All right, we got our nice little string of episodes in Busan following on from each other. So last episode ended with, I was near the Baegyangsan Peak View, Baegyangsan. And my blue dot isn't actually on that spot. It's between that and Bul Unglyon, Bulunglyong. So I'm somewhere up in this mountain range, but all the peaks around these parts look about the same. There's nothing noticeably higher than me. And there's a pile of rocks up here that says 614 meters. So I was thinking, like, am I getting less afraid of heights a little bit? Because I was finding in Japan that above 500 meters started making me a little rubber-legged. It didn't even occur to me that I was at a high height till I saw that number. I feel fine. But no, I think that's because this is a very, very gradual. This was a very, you know, definitely tiring. Three quarters of the way up, I was like, oh, God, I kind of don't want to do this, but I can't go back down now. Like, this is really wearing me out. And I guess the height was evident because I had to pop my ears. I felt like a little pressure change in my ears. But generally easy. I came up kind of a weird path, an unexpected path, where basically I found out last time that there's a shrine near here. So I could just walk through the city and go to the shrine and come up here. And the walk through the city was nice. I found a nice fish market that was just cool to walk through. There were people selling vegetables on the street, which they did in Seoul also. And it seemed like perverse and weird in the wintertime in Seoul because it was so incredibly, ridiculously fucking polluted everywhere. The idea of buying vegetables off the street is like, this truly feels like an apocalypse movie. Like, we're just desperately scrabbling for survival. It's just weird feeling. Where here, it's been pretty nice. Some combination of where it is geographically and just because the time of year is getting to be springtime. But people selling stuff on the streets is like, it's a nice feeling when the world's not gray and fucking fucked up looking. But that was still a city walk. So instead, I did the same thing I did last time with the reservoir. It just seems like the most interesting way to get here. So I took a different path through the reservoir, through the mountains behind the reservoir, Cheopdong Reservoir. And I kind of trended to the right whenever I could, because I knew this peak was sort of to the right compared to where I went yesterday. But I ended up on the mountain next to this mountain, which now that I'm looking at it from here, man, is it actually higher? It might be. I guess if I'd stayed on that mountain, I'd be at an even higher peak. I see little flags up there. Yeah, it has like an observation deck. It's a little more developed over there. Actually, maybe that's the peak, because I don't see the shrine anywhere. The shrine must be down at the foot of that. So maybe I'm looking at the one I saw yesterday, so I'm two peaks over. But whatever, you know, it's all in the neighborhood. That's funny though, because yeah, I was just about to say, so I thought I was on the wrong mountain, that I was one mountain over, and I was looking over at the big peak. And I'm like, oh well, didn't quite hit it today, not going to make it today. But then I found a path down through the valley in between the two mountains. And I passed some hikers here and there, but at that specific point, a lady went by and actually said hello. So I want to shout her out. She's the only fucking one. So I see you. I recognize. I appreciate it. And yeah, I guess that's what made this seem especially difficult, is because I kind of went back to the bottom and back up, I guess, because I went down in the valley between mountains. But yeah, looking over, look at that shit. Well, that's something else to aim for in the future. But I ended up coming up this weird route that was very rough and nature-y. And then I intersected with what was supposed to be the proper way to get up here, which, where does it originate? I have no fucking idea. How was I supposed to do this? I don't know. But I got to one of those like woven carpets that are all over Korea, where on hiking trails they have these, like, I don't know if it's made of straw or what, but they're just like big big carpets that they lay out to help you walk. So I was on the proper path and then came up here. Very easy. So all of that is to say that even though this is quite high up and the view is amazing, yeah, it doesn't feel scary because it's really not steep. That really was the deal in Japan. Not so much the height, it's just some of those mountains are treacherous. Spikes of doom. Spikes of death. Which Bukansan had some of those too. But yeah, all these mountains here, this is much more, again, maybe it's a coastal thing. Feels much more Fukuoka. Feels much more Fukuoka-y. It's really hard to say, Fukuoka-y. In that, the mountains aren't that severe. And from up here, I can see, I was going to say the other side of Busan, but I have no idea yet how Busan is laid out or really what's where. So it's another side of Busan where there's a river, which I don't know what it's called. I'm still learning all this stuff. I know nothing yet. I see a river with a couple of bridges. Well, quite a few bridges, I guess. A few different bridges. Bunch of buildings. Then across the river, no tall buildings. Oh, well, there's one. Fewer tall buildings. And then like a weird marshland that goes off into more mountains that disappear into the distance. Not very polluted today, only a touch over 50. So I'm not even wearing a mask and I feel okay about it. I think it's fine. But as you look deep enough into the distance, layers and layers and layers of mountains. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can see like 8 layers back. That's fucking crazy. But it gets pretty hazy as it goes. Yeah, and then behind me there's more Busan. Where even is the ocean? I don't even know, man. This is nice though, definitely. I mean, I just looking at all these peaks, it's just nuts. Like, just so easy to get to. So freaking easy. I left the house pretty late today. I didn't get going till a little after 1:30. And it's still only 5 o'clock now. So even dragging my feet like crazy, I easily made it to the top of a peak. The sun is still really high in the sky. That's one nice thing about springtime coming. I was always racing the sun when I was in Japan in the winter. Although a few little insects have started poking up, so we'll see if that's a problem. Because even though it was a very easy winter by luck this year that I was traveling, it was still more than enough to take care of the insects. There were no insects in Japan. So it could be the trade-off. Get more sun. Here in Korea, you seem to get a noticeable lack of pollution, but maybe bugs are going to start fucking me. You never know. I guess every season has its ups and downs. I'm going to start making my way down this mountain, though. Because, yeah, even though the sun's quite high up, it's still on the descent. Yeah, I haven't booked more time yet here in Busan because I just need to figure out how I'm going to exit. Can I get flights from here, from Busan? Is it worth it to go back to Seoul? And if it is, then I'll probably go back a little early. But all I did was just a test. Just basically, what if I try to fly straight from Seoul to Toronto or Busan to Toronto? And there didn't seem to be much difference, but they were both horrifying. Like $1,600. Plus, I'm sure there's fees and taxes and shit. That's just crazy, man. I mean, I know it's going to be like $1,000. I think that's what it was to get here. I don't remember now. To get from Montreal to Japan. But that was on a budget airline right before they shut down for the season. Middle of July, it's a lot rougher. And yeah, I just can't spend that kind of money to go back to Canada, which I don't even particularly want to go back to anyway, you know? Just got to go back eventually. So I got to look into that more. Maybe there is somewhere else I can go. Some way I can split this up just so I get something out of that flight. Like, there's always the classic going back to Amsterdam, but maybe I will finally go to France. Finally use some of my French. Because I don't know if it still exists, but there used to be a flight. Instead of flying directly across the ocean, you could get from a major Canadian city and then fly up to Iceland and transfer in Iceland down into Europe. And it was a lot less brutal. So even if it costs more ultimately to go stop in Europe and stuff, you know, to get home, at least I'll have done something on the way. At least I'll get something out of it. Flying straight from Busan to Toronto, I won't get shit. I will get nothing out of that except a miserable flight and a huge bill. So I gotta figure out what I'm doing before I book time here. I don't know, it's just, I don't really enjoy setting up stuff for traveling. And it seems so far away. It's like 3 months before I gotta leave, but gotta book all this stuff a lot sooner than that. Oh geez, can I just walk over to this other peak? Yeah, these things, they seem so epic. Like, oh, there's that other peak. But wait a fucking minute. It does seem in this case I do not need to go all the way down into the valley and all the way back up. I think I can just skedaddle across here. Cool. Well, while I'm checking out this other peak, just another random story that, I don't know, it's hard for me to tell what's a random event and what is actually representative of Korean culture, because I just haven't been here that long and I'm not exactly partaking that much in any culture, you know. I just wander around by myself. But I was buying vitamins. Oh, there's a guy coming down toward me. I was buying vitamins because I finally ran out. I brought vitamins with me and they finally ran out. And I do need like multivitamins and vitamin B, or my poor body feels bad. And the vitamins here seemed horrifyingly expensive. It was like $60 for a little box that came with two bottles of multivitamins. And then each one had 60 in it. But really, I guess it's not that bad. $30 for a bottle of vitamins. In Canada, that would easily be $23 or $24. It's just that I always bought vitamins on sale. So I'd just wait until they were like $15 and buy some. So it feels like double price. And then they made me buy two at once. So it really was like, man, I just spent $60 on vitamins. But I guess it's not really that bad. But I got the multivitamins, and then I went back later to a different store, different pharmacy, to get vitamin B. And a similar thing, they came in a fancy box with two bottles. These ones were $35 each, so $70. For the box of vitamins, and I would have just bought it, but I didn't realize I wasn't keeping track of how much money I had. I only had $40 on me. So I was like, ah, darn, I don't have enough. Is there a, like a cheaper one, or what can we do here? Do I have to abandon these? And it's hard to tell if South Korea is, like, if they follow rules or if they're freewheeling, you know? Japan, it's no question, they follow rules, for sure. And here, there does seem to be many rules-based things. There certainly are cameras everywhere, like everywhere. But I was kind of impressed that this guy did not seem beholden by, what's the word, like when you got a certain way things have to be done and that's how they have to be done. Like Chris Broad from Broad in Japan, I just saw a thing he put up about how he was about to go on a trip somewhere and he had to go to the bank and get out money. And he didn't bring his hanko stamp, his little identifying stamp, to his bank in Japan. And despite the fact that he's lived there over a decade and he's had the bank account forever, they can't accept signatures, they can't accept photo ID, they can't accept anything. They need the fucking stamp. They need the stamp so much that he had to travel across town to get the stamp and travel all the way back just to get his own money out of his bank account. You know, that's the Japanese way. In Japan, if I didn't have the money to buy the fancy box of two bottles of vitamins, that'd be it. And it's clear that the only reason it's in this fancy box is to look fancy, to kind of help justify, I think, this really high price for these fucking vitamins. You know, you got a nice fancy box. Ooh, look at what I bought. I bought a big box of vitamins, even though it's just two little bottles in there. But in South Korea, it was like, no. This was way more the freewheeling ingenuity. He was like, I'm not letting this guy walk out of here. He has $40 in his wallet. He's trying to buy vitamins. I'm not just going to let him go. So he just cracked the box open. He's like, yeah, fuck it. Here you go. Just take one of the bottles for $35. And I was like, I will. Perfect. Thank you. But I asked him, like, is this okay? Because all the vitamins come in these fancy boxes. There were no bottles. So what's he gonna do with the half-empty box. You know, like, this is definitely interfering the protocol of how these things are supposed to be sold and stocked and restocked and yada yada. I probably caused him a slight problem that he had to crack this thing open and just sell one of the bottles. But whatever, he'll figure it out. He's, despite working at a pharmacy, you know, it's not like I was buying this from like a market street or something. The sense, the spirit of wheeling and dealing was still there. He'll just find someone else who only wants half. He'll just find someone else to peddle the bottle to. But I appreciated it. I appreciated him thinking on his feet and breaking the protocol. Because I would have bought two bottles, whatever. Never hurts to have backup vitamins. I just didn't realize I didn't have enough money. You don't really expect to need $70 to buy vitamins. So yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. That was kind of a nice little thing. Pliable. That's a good word for it. I respect when someone can be pliable in order to get the money out of my wallet that I am trying to spend for the thing that I want to have. Because yeah, that just wouldn't have happened in Japan. I can't even imagine it. No one's going to open up a package and sell you half of what's in there. It's just not, that's not how it works. That's not the protocol. Those aren't the rules. Well, yeah, this was easy. I'm already at the other peak. Another bigger stone pile, an observation deck, and a signpost. Let's see what you have to say to me, signpost. Such a weird feeling. Yeah, there's the flags that I was like, are those little white flags? Now they're right here. Here, let's walk over. You can hear some flag ASMR. And there's the stadium. So, that means that mountain is the first one that I found. My Airbnb is down in that little pocket somewhere. That mountain behind it, I tried to get to one day. There's some kind of university up there. I happened to be there on a weekend, so all of the, everything up there was closed. And there was no apparent way up into the mountain. Oh, there's the reservoir. I can see a little touch of it. Wow. This is fucking neat. Yeah, I can easily see the entire route that I took today. So where's the Citizens Park? Oh, there it is. Yep, yipper yippers, that's everything. That's everything I've ever seen in Busan. That's the area. This is as far as I've been. The Citizens Park to the reservoir, up to these mountains behind the reservoir. That is the totality of my Busan experience, and I can see it all right now. Hey, and there's another helipad. Ding, 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 found one, Grand Theft Auto. So good. This town is so cool. It's just really, really cool. So let's see. 1.5 kilometers is sort of back toward roughly where I came from. It's called Barum Hill. 1.3 kilometers, Burung Nyong Pass. Burung Nyong. That's where I was supposed to come up, but I somehow came up midway through. And then if I look this other direction, it appears to just go down, but it claims that 0.75 kilometers from here is the Ajinbong Peak, Aejinbong Peak. Well, let's head that way, I guess, and see what happens. But I don't see no fucking peaks over there. I see nothing. Ooh, doggy. Oh, now there's a view. This has got to be one of the little fucking... Oh, this feels scary now. Ooh. Yeah, now I'm on an official, you know, wooden platform with do not lean signs and kind of a drop, you know, like a 15-foot drop ahead of me, but then way down. Ooh, way down. But you can really see a lot of Busan from here. I guess that's the ocean over there. Everything just kind of disappears into a haze. I don't know. And yeah, as usual, I don't tend to hang around at these places much. I just like to pass through them, pass through an area. That's an extra good reason too, because yeah, this one. I wonder, is there a height sign anywhere around here? It can't be much higher than the other one. It seems about the same. But again, I guess it's just the steepness. Yeah, 642 meters, only a little higher. But where that observation deck is. I mean, I guess that's what makes it such a good observation deck. That one feels steep. That is quite the drop, but quite the view. But yeah, let's mosey toward this other supposed peak with the ultimate goal of getting the fuck out of here. But yeah, delightful, man. The one day on, one day off plan is working real well. Yesterday was my day off plan. Just went to a coffee shop, Adia Coffee, absolutely my favorite. The first one I found was Coffee Bean. It was okay, but a little pricey. A twosome place, it's okay, but the machine isn't in English. So in both those cases, I basically had to order from people. I guess I fit up some Starbucks, but they're identical to everywhere else. Adia is also one of the local brands. E-D-I-Y-A. I think I read that there's 3,000 of them. I'm not sure if that's in Seoul or in all of Korea. Maybe just Seoul, because they seem to be everywhere. They're not hard to find. And yeah, they have the machine from heaven. It has English menus. And yeah, like I was all like, I ordered a mint mocha the other day. Wow, I would never do that if I had to talk to the employee. And I was thinking back to that, and it's like, that must sound so ridiculous. Because it's true. I'm not going to add any extra words I don't need to add. I'm ordering a latte, and that's it. Because even that, latte, you know, they pronounce it a little different. I'm not quite sure how to say latte properly. But large is supposed to be largey. You know, there's a lot of English speakers in South Korea, but if you do catch somebody who isn't, everything is hard to understand. It's just everything. So I'm not going to order mint mochas. I'm just not going to do it. You know, maybe it seems simple, but nothing is simple. So not only did I get a mint mocha, I got an extra espresso shot in it for 50 cents, and I could just no whip, ding, all through the menu. God, you imagine explaining all of that? I could do different temperatures if I wanted to. Like, it's just, why put somebody through that? You know, they don't even have a tip culture around here. So it's not like I can leave money in their tip cup if I go talk to them in person. They're getting nothing out of this deal except having to deal with my illiterate ass. So Adia, God bless you, Adia. I love you. Your machines are so good. You just pop your little credit card in. Because yeah, that's the thing too. Most of, when a thing does accept your credit card, it seems pretty easy. Because I don't have like a full credit card. I've got like a debit card that works as a credit card. So there's no statement you pay off. It just takes the money right out of your account. But it basically works as a credit card. And you know, it works at McDonald's. It works at Burger King. It worked at the Unmanned Cafe in Jecheon. The only place that was weird is I used it at this one Starbucks in Jecheon where I had to go through a bunch of extra steps. Luckily, there were English speakers there that could explain to me what was going on. I had to pick if I wanted to pay in Canadian funds or Korean. So I was like, I guess Canadian, right? It's a Canadian bank account. Like, what the heck? What do you mean? What happens if I choose Korean? Anyway, then I had to electronically sign. You know, with just a little plastic pen, then you scribble some shit. And I was like, what the fuck is all this? Anyway, Adia, you just pop your card in after you've ordered your stuff, gives you a number, then the person makes your stuff and the number pops up. And you say thank you, and you got a drink. It's the best. So anyway, yeah, Adia from here on in, that's where I'm going every day. It's just the best, and there's enough of them around. Even like, you know, you can check them on the map and some stuff will pop up, but there's more. There's more than what's on the map, so just keep your eyes peeled. Oh, there's the next peak. I see it. It's not that far. Well, I guess it's less than a kilometer, as the sign said. But if I can find a way down, I'm taking it. I'm at that point now. Take the first route down. It's enough peaks. How many peaks does a man need? I saw two different peaks today. But yeah, then today was the day on. Day on, here I am. Here I am at the peaks. Tomorrow, day off. Go find an Adia, sit at a coffee shop, try to finish my fucking novel. Yeah, this is neat. Man, this is one thing that is pretty common in South Korea, are these views, these mountains that are just like right in the fucking city. So you just walk along and you can just look to either side and just see the city below you. It's fucking cool as hell. Man, it's so weird that I'm forgetting the names now. I knew all those names in Seoul. because it's, yeah, mainly the one with the wall that this reminds me of, that I could look up, but whatever. Whatever. These names will all come back to me next time I'm in Seoul. I know I've said this before, but it remains true. When you don't know the language at all, man, these names are so hard to remember because they're all just abstract sounds. I mean, there's so many bongs and jeons. I looked up dong, and I think dong just means neighborhood, generally. San is clearly a mountain. I mean, they do that in Japan as well, right? But anyway, all of these prefixes and suffixes that are probably, like, very easy to remember if you know Korean, but to me it's all, like, I gotta just hard remember every word. It's very hard to do. Looky here. There's a little veranda, little gazebo-looking thing. Oh yeah, the cherry blossoms. So they're already, even though it's only... What day did I get here? Has it been a full week? It must be a full week by now. But they're noticeably passing already. Like, there's some cherry blossom trees I'm passing right now that there's still some clinging on, but they're almost past. And yeah, I was watching, I started watching a lot of people on YouTube during COVID who do the walking around Japan videos. And I'm still subscribed to some of them, so those videos just pop up. So I was like, oh, look at this. There's people walking around in Shibuya looking at the cherry blossoms. There's a lot more cherry blossoms in Shibuya than you would suspect. Oh, here's a proper map. Nice, I can get down from here easy. And then somebody else had one from the Meguro River. And I was like, ah, cool. Like, I had never known what the Meguro River was. But if you cast your mind way back, that was one of the first walks I did when I got to Japan, just because it happened to be near my Airbnb in Sanganjaya. Wow, a washroom. And a little observatory, like, you know, the... eyeglass thing you can look through. I found one of those in Jecheon, and you could, like, literally just look into the windows of apartment buildings. It was weird, because Jecheon's just not big enough, really, to have this type of thing, to have a spyglass. Busan is, though. Yeah, from here, you'd never be able to see anything, any particular details. Oh, there's the ocean. Okay. That's the ocean for sure, so it's not quite in the direction that I thought it was. But anyway, yeah, these YouTube, channels had their nice sakura walks, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's pretty nice, not bad, pretty much identical to what it looks like here in Korea. They seem to be basically the same sort of drifting white pink blossoms flowing through the sky. But then I was surprised that one of the guys was like, all right, we got one more day of this, tomorrow I'll post one more video, and then that's kind of it. I was like, really, it's over already? And then I realized, like, yeah, I guess it is. Even just walking around today, like, they're still around, but it's such a ludicrously short time. Ridiculously short time. Like, less than a week? A week, maybe? Oh, another helipad. This isn't even the one I saw before, is it? It must be. How many fucking helipads are there around here? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess again, this is like, it's like a personality test. Maybe. Because of the teeny tiny little sliver of time when you really get to see these cherry blossoms, maybe that makes one more dedicated to the idea of, like, I gotta be there at the right time, I gotta see him, it's my only chance. Whereas I'm just gonna reiterate what I thought before, it makes me feel even more so that you should not worry about it. It's not worth getting stressed over, it's not worth making plans around. What if you fuck up? What if the weather's different? What if you get here and you miss them? Just forget it. Just fucking forget it. If you see them, good. If you don't, who cares? That's my advice. Ah, there we go. Okay, so this next update is mere minutes later. It's, I just went in and took a pee. And then I was like, ah, well, this next peak, I mean, it's right here. It's so close. Like, what the hell? I might as well just hop up there, even though it's noticeably getting a little dark now. But the reason I pulled out this recorder is that a guy on a fucking bicycle just went by. I was like, what the hell? I'm on top of a mountain, dude. What is happening? And then I just saw at this next signpost, 3.5 kilometers down, that looks like basically just, is it paved or is it just gravel? Anyway, just a nice, quite easy flat route, a nice little, basically a road. So yeah, if you take the proper way up here, it is mega easy. You can literally bicycle up here, but that's a first. I have never seen somebody on one of these mountains on a bicycle. That's some Grand Theft Auto shit also. Because I've certainly done that in San Andreas and in GTA 5. Hey, I'm gonna ride my fucking bicycle up the side of the mountain. And now I've seen it in real life. I don't know, this next peak seems close, but the sign said 1.2 kilometers to something. Presumably just the next peak and the next peak. I just need to stop, I guess. It's a little too late in the day. Whatever little cut and dried model was in my mind of like, oh, here's that shrine. Here's a mountain and then a second mountain. And that's as far as my brain went. But in reality, it's endless mountain after mountain after mountain. Non-stop mountains. Getting pretty fucking windy too. I had my extra coat, my one coat too many that I realized I really didn't need in Japan. But I kept it the whole time just in case, because you never know, since I'd never been to Japan in the winter before. And it turns out I got off easy. So I still don't know what'll happen next time. But it didn't make it out of Jetjon. I finally got rid of it. Oh, this is, again, nice. How nice, what a nice view, what a nice peak. But now there's a little sign that says 4 kilometers to the next thing. That's plenty. Bailing out, going back to where that bicycle guy came from, I'm taking that route down. But yeah, it served me well, that coat, because it was like a hand-me-down coat that had a bit of a tear in it, actually. So, I mean, I was busy, you know, it was just someone else's garbage. And it turns out I never really did need it. I mostly needed it just to fill my pockets full of stuff when I went through the airport to Fukuoka, which was a stupid plan in the first place. But that's the nice thing about hand-me-down secondhand clothes, and especially clothes that are starting to fall apart. There's really no guilt about getting rid of them. I try to hold on to stuff as long as I can. I keep everything as long as I can. I wear it down to the bone. I've started buying like proper hiking socks and athletic socks because I've realized that I'm just destroying my socks. There's just holes in the heels of all my socks because I walk like a lunatic every day, or currently every second day. But it was nice to have, just in case things had gone well, like they probably should have gone. On a normal winter, maybe I would have needed that coat. But it was so mild that it was just my insurance coat. But anyway, nowadays, it's getting so warm that I'm just kind of wearing a normal hoodie. And even though it's windy as hell, I do have a thermal shirt tucked away for another layer. But it's not actually cold. It feels fine. Oh yeah, this is paved. No problem. Still impressive, though. To bicycle 650 meters up a mountain. Yikes, you know? Not too bad on the hiking because I just really go slow. I go like really slow, like an old man slow. So as not to mess up my knee, but also because I just hate that feeling of sucking wind. I hate that feeling of being winded. And as long as you just go real slow, you don't feel that way so much. But a bicycle, yikes. That would be a tiring endeavor. Where's he going to, by the way? I wasn't really paying super close attention as I walked along that path. I mean, it was pretty easy. And like I said, it had that sort of carpet type of deal on part of it, but surely not all of it. Can you really ride your bike along this mountain range? That's fucking nuts. Little curvy road keeps going, but here's some stairs. I'm gonna take the stairs. All right, so yeah, again, I just, this probably could be an episode, but I just don't want to quite end here. It's kind of fun to just see what'll happen next. What's the next time an anecdote happens that I want to pull out my recorder for? Let's see. So let's fade out now, do a little time jump, and see where I pop in next. Wow, those stairs were short-lived. Now I'm just walking down rocks. Man, and it's a long way. But anyway, I'm gonna trust that this is not one of these Jetjon situations where 3/4 of the way down, they just abandon me and I'm just clinging to the side of a mountain. That seems like a small town thing. This place, man, had a dang washroom up there. That was nuts. All right, fade out. All right, it's a bit later, the same day. It's all just today. In Japan, I always felt like each day was more than enough, packed full of more than enough stuff to make a podcast. I just kind of presumed that it's not necessarily the case now that I've left Japan. But I think it's becoming pretty obvious that there's enough stuff going on. In general, but especially in Busan. That if I decide to break out this here recorder, whatever crap happens to me on the day is, by my standards of what I consider an interesting podcast, good enough. Oh wow, this is a really good mural I'm walking by. There are various murals I've seen around Korea of various quality. Some of them are really cartoony and weird and kind of silly, but they're still cool. This is like a really well, really giant painting of the whole city. Is it even this city? I mean, it must be. But there's a bridge that kind of, I don't recognize. It's got like a big central pole and, you know, the wires coming down. I'll have to keep my eyes peeled. That's probably a bridge somewhere. But anyway, I made it down the mountain and I'm back in the city proper. And as I was going down, the rock steps hewn into the mountain. And they eventually led me to like a parking lot and proper washroom facilities and stuff again. And it was getting darker and darker. Still not quite dark right now. Almost, though. But the roads had some gates put up to keep cars out, I think, because it's, you know, getting to be later in the day. I think I could have skirted around the gates and just walked down the road, but I found another little path through the woods. I'm like, good enough. Boar warning, but that's fine. I can't be that far from the city by now. I keep going down and down and down. And it eventually led to, like, this rain gutter. It's weird how, you know, things just happen. As the terrain is changing, especially when things are mountainous like they are in Asia, you just gotta roll with the punches because you just, you can't just go wherever you want. You gotta go where you can go. And you should particularly go where someone went before you, where the path leads. Don't try to go off on your own. It's probably not gonna work out. So I got to this rain gutter, like, concrete rain gutter, but one side of it was wide enough that you could walk on. And then there was a big fence beyond it and a really steep drop off down to like an apartment complex. So I was definitely close to civilization, but there was nothing I could do but walk along this rain gutter. But I'm like, well, I mean, this path led me here. I guess this is what I gotta do. But I've never walked on something like this before, very unusual. And then I walked along it until it started heading downward. And at that point, someone had tied ropes to the trees along the side that you could hold on to. And I used them. They were handy, you know, just to make sure I didn't lose my balance. It wasn't extremely steep, but definitely awkward footing because it's like this weird rain gutter, which currently had no water in it. But I assume during rainy seasons and stuff, it's probably full of water. And yeah, I was just holding on to this rope and making my way down this thing. And again, like I was saying, you just roll with the punches. You just do whatever you gotta do. It wasn't until I got to the bottom and popped out at the edge of some deserted children's park that then I could kind of look around a bit and see a bus go by and realize I'm in civilization. But just look back at the weird little corner of the park where you would never think to go up there. You'd probably never notice it. But I just came down it, and I said out loud, I was like, what the hell was that? Like, what the hell just happened? But then all of a sudden, you're just back in town and Paris baguette and traffic going by and just in civilization. And it's all kind of cozy because, you know, it's getting dark. Don't want to be up on the mountains when it's dark. And then weirder still, so I'm like, all right, who the heck? I seem to be pretty far away on the map. I'm like, well, this is going to take a while, but whatever. Nice stroll through town. Very low pollution today. Feeling good. Have a nice walk home. It'll take a couple hours. Hour and a half, maybe. But as I was walking, I realized, wait a fucking second, I've been here before. I thought I recognized a grocery store that I recognized just because it had garbages out front. But because this is CCTV land and stuff, it's just like, eh, you know, it's pretty clear you're not supposed to use their garbages if you're not a customer. But I was like, is that the same place? You know, because I currently have a back pocket full of garbage and an empty tea bottle. Like, you know, always looking for garbages, much like in Japan. There was quite a few garbages in Seoul, but also tons of garbage in Seoul. You know, one begets the other. Busan and Jecheon was pretty hard to get rid of garbage. But then I walked a little further and I saw like a kid's playground that was shaped like a castle. And I'm like, all right, I for sure have been here before. I know this place. But how and why? You know, I started trying to run through the previous times I'd been on the mountain and where I came off. And I mean, it must have been when I came down from the... Yeah, I was just going to say, I tried to think it through and I just gave up. I was like, I don't know. It's all such a blur. Who cares? It doesn't matter. I recognize it. That's good enough. But I just realized it was when I came down from the shrine. Because, yeah, I must have passed just by the shrine on my way down. That makes sense. But also, random little thing, in that park, oh, so I mean, this means that cool fish market I walked through, I'm heading back toward it. But it's almost 7 p.m., they must be shutting down or shut down by now. It was cool though, just to see all the, it's probably weird and cruel to keep all these fish and crabs and stuff in all these tanks, but it looks neat when you walk by. I don't know, how cruel is it to keep fish? What do fish feel? I have no idea. Oh, there's a lady making a big vat of kimchi. Oh yeah, so I did, since there's like a big Tupperware container of homemade kimchi at my Airbnb, I just took some, a couple of the boiled eggs and some of the homemade kimchi and just put it in an instant noodle bowl. And man, it was fucking delicious. God damn, it was good. You know, the instant noodles themselves, you know, fucking, geez, shut up. You know, the instant noodles themselves are a lot better than North America, but, you know, they're still just freeze-dried noodles. But yeah, you add in some natural ingredients, some kimchi, some eggs. Man, it goes a long way. That shit was delicious. I'm gonna have that again when I get home. But anyway, this park had a robot in it. A non-distinct, generic Transformers-y robot. But that made me realize, I did see the other day in the Busan Citizens Park, a big field with a big Gundam-looking robot. Not as big as the Yokohama one, obviously. But pretty big robot statue. Of, again, I'm not quite sure what stripe of robot it was meant to be. But then I noticed near there's all these different pop culture statues. A bunch of them were Marvel heroes. Hulkbuster armor, that's what it was. So it was, yeah, it was a real thing. It was Iron Man in his big Hulkbuster armor. And I've seen quite a few Captain America's and Spider-Man's. They pop up kind of all over the place just to advertise random shops and stuff. Are they officially licensed? I wouldn't bet on it, but that's kind of a thing. It's like, it's happened enough that, you know, it's finally sunk in that it's like, there's something going on with Marvel comics in particular around here. They seem to be very popular. And here's another random little market. Pretty good town, man. Pretty good city. Getting darker and darker. Anyway, there's an episode. There's an adventure. This is a bit of a strange podcast to begin with, where a guy just walks around and does laundry and stuff, but I do feel like the transition out of Japan, it was a little awkward initially. But I feel like I'm getting into the groove of it. I'm starting to... For whatever weird slice of life value this podcast might have, I feel like it's coming back. because the whole reason I started this podcast was so I could remember these things, remember my little adventures, remember my little times in Japan. And then it's just like a little weirder when it's like, oh, now I'm in Seoul. And it's like, that's okay if I don't remember all the details of this. The broad strokes are fine. I would never in my life start a Seoul podcast. It just wouldn't have happened. It's just because I was already doing this thing. Let's just keep that ball rolling. But I'm definitely getting back that Japan feeling of like, yeah, I'm going to want to remember this little day. I'm going to want to remember these little Busan adventures. And I'm probably underestimating the other cities too. Since this podcast comes out much slower than its recording pace, you know, by the time I get around to like me wandering around Jecheon, you know, Jecheon, I will have been gone from there for so long that I'll probably, my stupid nostalgic brain will be like, yeah, I'd go back there. I want to go back there. And then through the miracle of audio, I'll get to go back there, kinda, sorta. Anyway, thank you for joining me on yet another of these random missions. And I'll see you next time. We'll end with a nice Korean ditty playing outside a store.